The ones that I'm forgetting their names right now, but if you're not here, I'm saying hello. Okay, let's open up with a word of prayer. Spirit of God, blow into our lives. Move us to action. Break down the walls that separate us. Where our language divides, offer us translation. Where our fear overcomes, fill us with the fire of courage. Where our lives are stationary, fill our sails with wind, moving us forward into the unknown future. Fill us with the hope and promise of Pentecost. In Jesus' name we pray and give this service into the Lord's hand. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning, Doc.
Okay. Call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. If you have any announcements you'd like to make, ask you get them to the church office by 2:30 on Tuesday so they can be put in the next week's bulletin or on email if necessary. Call your attention to the offertory, which is very important for the work of the church, but we're trying to abide by regulations, not passing things to each other. So the offering plates are in the back on the table. Please leave your offering there as you leave. Same with the yellow slips. If you have a concern or a praise that you would like us to know about, write it out, put it in the collection plate, and then we will get it to everybody. We always like to welcome visitors, but we don't want to violate the regulations having you stand, remove your mask. So if you're a visitor, you're welcome. Last week was a holiday weekend, but I...
Wave your hand if you're a visitor.
Just home folks. Okay.
Just home folks.
We are trying to abide by the regulations with the masks, social distancing, hand sanitizer, etc. Any further announcements or changes in our program, we'll let you know by email. For now, we're happy that we're back together again. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? We don't have a piano player today, do we? Okay, let's go with the opening music then.
Drawn me close to your side. You have made
Will you stand and join me in the call to worship? In unison, read the bold print. The wind at our backs, we entered Jerusalem.
Only to watch him die on the cross.
It spiraled so quickly, trial, torture, crucifixion, death.
But on the third day, the breath of God blew new life into our futures. 40 days with the risen Jesus.
Before he ascended, Jesus reminded us that the Spirit will come.
It was on Pentecost when the wind breathed into each and every one of us.
Sacred breath moved through this room. Unlock a song within your people.
Breathe into us your hopes and dreams for the world filled with justice, love, and peace. Amen.
Join the Apostles' Creed, which you'll find 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son and Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's pretty good a cappella. You all may be seated. Join in the prayer of confession as you find in the bulletin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit in me. By desiring instant results to most things these days, we confess that we forget what it is like to be patient. We find ourselves neglecting the needs of others because we run out of time to be kind to others than ourselves. When we persistently make self-centered decisions rather than Christ-centered ones, our understanding of your goodness and faithfulness is weakened, and our discipleship lacks credibility. In this aggressive world, it is easy to believe one cannot get anywhere by exercising a spirit of gentleness or even self-control. Gracious and merciful God, refresh and renew us with the Holy Spirit so that we may are fruitful, vital disciples of Jesus Christ. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit in me. Amen. Now we'll take a moment for silent prayer. And now the declaration of forgiveness you'll find in the bulletin. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, with whom we have been reconciled through Christ. Thanks be to God. Will you stand for the reading of the Holy Scripture?
The scripture today comes from Acts 2:1-21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are in all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, were heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Then the sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be safe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have a seat. The story of Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church because of the new covenant that was made with God. And that covenant was given to all believers. The celebration of Pentecost isn't flagged on our calendar as Pentecost Sunday because it doesn't actually fall on a Sunday. But it's a big deal for Christians, and there are at least 3 reasons why its day is worth celebrating, and it's worth for us to remember it. Watching Jesus ascend to heaven on Acts 1:11, the disciples must have felt an immediate sense of loss, but Jesus steadied them with an important promise. "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," Acts 1:5. So on the 7th day after the ascension, we find the disciples gathering in Jerusalem, praying, waiting, celebrating the Feast of Weeks. At the conclusion of Passover, the first sheaf of barley harvest will be offered before God in the temple, anticipating the great harvest that was to follow in the summer. One on the 50th days of Passover all Israel will come to the Temple of Jerusalem to celebrate God's presence. Parents, children, male and female servants, sojourners, the fatherless, the widows, will all give thanks and feast in memory of Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. You'll find the story on Deuteronomy 16, 6 to 12. We often wonder, how come everybody was there together? And it's because we kind of like stop reading the story ahead before the story is actually finished. It actually gives us why everybody was there. They were celebrating the fact that the harvest would be coming in, that it would be plentiful. They were giving their first fruit to God as an offering. So this is why everybody was coming in. And the Bible specifically tells you about the servants coming with their masters. It was that important. At that time, servants were non-people. But for this day, it was very important that everyone came to celebrate and to give their offering to the God of Israel. Luke tells us in Acts 2:2-4 that when the disciples were gathered on the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing of wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone that was there was able to understand what the message was. One of the things that all churches and religions do when they send you on missions and when they place you on different churches is, you know, how many languages do you speak? You know, can you preach, you know, in English? Can you preach in Spanish? Because it is important that the church hears the teaching and the preaching in a language that makes sense to them. Of course, I can say thank you for the whole Methodist umbrella to you guys for putting up with me these 2 years with the accent and all that. But I think that all in all, you have been able to get the message of God. And that was my intention. Then Peter stood up in with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who lived in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And again, he brings out the words spoken in the book of Joel about that when the time of Christ would come and the Holy Spirit and to the end of our time. And it said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's Acts again 2:14-18. This, which we originally find in the Old Testament, became a promise fulfilled with Christ when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, not everybody might have the gift of prophecy. Not everybody has the gift of teaching. Out of all the gifts, we don't have them all, but does God for sure has given each one of you at least one. So the word in the Old Testament becomes a promise fulfilled in the New Testament and a promise fulfilled in your lives now. Peter goes on to proclaim that what has happened in their hearing is the validation of the lordship of Jesus, the Messiah, and the realization of the promises of God. Those gathered are cut to the heart. And 3,000 of them receive the good news of Jesus as Messiah and are baptized. You'll find the whole story on Acts 2:41. The Bible explains the book of Acts that it was awesome. They mention the amount of people here, and we wonder, well, I wonder why they didn't say many people. They mentioned the amount because I think it's significant to know how much the Word of God can do in the heart of man. And everybody has a word from God that can reach the heart of man. Sometimes we know it. Sometimes we know it and we hold it back. Sometimes we don't know it. But I can tell you for sure that each one of you have a word in you that will touch the heart of man. The rest of the book of Acts develops the word transforming changes that have begun in the moments at Pentecost. So the book of Acts, it's the beginning of the church, how we're going to conduct the business of the church, what the obligation of the church is, what the expectation of the parishioners are, its people, the children of God. So it really tells you the whole story as it is in effect, let's say as it should be in effect today, as different religions have been formed and then now transform, things have changed. But when you really want to find out the intention of God for his church, go to the book of Acts. You'll find directions for the church right there. And you'll find directions for you as member of the church. In the book of Acts, you're not going to find Methodists, you know, Baptists, Catholics, none of that. You're going to find the children of God. You're going to find Christians because they were following Christ, which is, and it should be, the main intention of our hearts. How then is Pentecost important for us today? I only have 3 things to share with you, so hear me out. First, Pentecost fulfills Jesus' promise to never, never abandon us. And sometimes you'll hear this verse and it says, forsake us. But forsake us is one of those words that while I know in my head what it means, my heart has no really a place for it. So when I did a word search, abandon certainly has a place for it in my heart. So he has promised that he will never abandon us, regardless of the circumstances around. And regardless of our own personal circumstances, he will never, ever abandon his own. As painful as the parting as the ascension might have been, Jesus assured the disciples that it was to their advantage that he would go away. And he said, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own. He will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. John 16, 7 and 13 and 14. So Jesus gives us the explanation as to why he needs to go. But then he says what it's coming. And then he tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to discern what the Word is trying to tell us. And yes, the Word has been written, and the Word cannot be changed. But when you read it, you know what you hear? That's the Holy Spirit making the Word come to you, making the Word make sense to you, making the Word comfort you and hold you up. The fulfillment of the promise of Jesus was the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, and as Peter proclaimed, on all of God's people in this new era. The promises of the new covenant are ours through the indwelling Spirit. Jesus did not end his work on earth with the ascension. He continues it now through his Spirit, indwelling in the church. So not only each one of you have the Holy Spirit that has been given as your helper, your counselor, your supporter, I call it my help me too, personally yours, but the church as a whole also has the Holy Spirit. Also has a Holy Spirit that it is my hope that when you come in here, you can feel it. It is my hope that when there is singing in any form, you can hear it. It is my hope that when we pray and we give thanks and we confess our sins and when we do the creed or the Our Father, that you know that the Holy Spirit is here and you can feel it. The promise of the new covenant are ours forever. Nothing will make you lose that. We therefore can take fresh courage in Jesus' words when he said, "Behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of ages." Matthew 28, 20. There are several times in the Bible where Jesus is reassuring us that even though he came and he left, he will still be with us forever. And so is in the Old Testament. Once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accept God as the Father and you accept the Holy Spirit. These three entities in one will never leave you or abandon you or forsake you. Two, Pentecost launches the global proclamation of the gospel. Jesus' death at the Passover in his mighty resurrection 3 days signaled the first fruit of God's victory over sin and death. Jesus had accomplished everything necessary for the gospel to run and triumph. The 3,000 souls added to the church on Pentecost hail from all corners of the Roman world. They in turn will carry the gospel to their families and communities. The narrative of Acts follows the Spirit indwelled disciples. All who were there had received the Spirit, and now they were equipped to go out and tell others about Christ. This didn't mean that they got a special license, or certainly none of them went to seminary. Okay? It means that God gave them the Holy Spirit to help them, so when they approached the people, that were lost, they would have a word for them. So do you. It wasn't only given to the apostles, it is given to you even now. 3, Pentecost is a signal of the coming of fuller restoration and a greater celebration. At Pentecost, Peter proclaimed that the prophecy of Joel had come to pass. This promise of the gift of the Spirit immediately came. And then another promise from God came also. It says on Joel 2:25-27, I will repay you for the years the locust hath eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you're full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. As he was telling this towards the Israelites, this is still true to us today. I believe that when all is said and done, God will turn around and make every wrong right. While Jesus' reign is secure and eternal, it has yet to come to its complete fulfillment. While death has been decisively defeated, it has yet to be put to a final end. Paul reminds us that creation longs for its final restoration, and that even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies, Romans 8:23. Pentecost is a pointer that history is inevitably moving toward the restoration of all things. We are waiting for the bridegroom. His bride is making herself ready, the church. We await the greatest celebration of all. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Revelations 19:9. We have been invited. We are the guest there. As we approach the feast, let's come with a clean and fulfilled with love heart for Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I have given you today the biblical meaning of Pentecost, and while no other story can surpass the real story, in my first faith journey, I needed to bring this story down to my level of understanding. I wanted to appreciate Pentecost for all that it's worth, so of course I made it my own. So I'm going to share with you what Pentecost means to me. I remember while in the refugee camp, some children were being chosen to go to a family home while they waited for their parents to arrive to the U.S. The sponsoring families will choose what kind of a child they wanted to make part of their family. So age, gender, social status in Cuba, last name lineage was important. Kind of like the difference between Smith and DuPont. Good grades, my goodness, they were essential. The children needed to be submissive, well-mannered, and well-spoken. The child must not have any psychological or physical problems, should not wet the bed or be a crier. Needless to say, I was not chosen. There were so many other beautiful, perfect children in the camp, and many of us, not only me, fell farther and farther behind. This can and did a number in the mind not only of myself, the 12-year-old child, but in the mind of those that kept going to the back of the list when they were not chosen. I will never be able to completely forget how it feels when you're not wanted, because unfortunately, that still happens now. But then came Christ. He was choosing me as I was and as I am today. He did not tell me, if only you could be, fill in the blank, thinner, cuter. I didn't wet the bed, so I had something in my favor, you know. Well spoken, by that time, I could say some words in English that, of course, we couldn't say it in public, but I had learned some English, you know. He didn't say that. I didn't have to fill in the blank. He also did not promise me a bed of roses. A pass on suffering, he did not give me. Early riches or good health, no. I got a chair just like all of you have a chair. It comes according to where we are, how we have taken care of ourselves in our youth and age. He just told me he wanted me to be part of his family. His father was powerful, and he wanted me too. One day I accepted Jesus' invitation to be part of his family, just as I was then and as I am now. I had been adopted by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I waited a long time to be wanted, but it finally came. Today I belong to the best family ever, the entire family of Jesus Christ, and through Jesus, all of you. One of the things that Jesus told me when I came into his family and then into his fold, he told me that, he said, Francis, not a single day of your life will be ever wasted. Not a single moment, not a single tear, not a single confession, not a single fall, not a single success, nothing will be wasted. That has held me up and embraced me and kind of like, you know, pulls me together when, just like you, go through stuff in life and I start leaking and trying to fall apart. All in all, when I look back, I said to myself, not bad for an adopted child. This is who I am in the story of Pentecost. While your story is not the same as mine, you are also adopted children of God. You also belong not only to the family of God, but the family of each other. Not only the family of each other here, but the family of those you see outside and you keep your distance. The family of those that don't look like us, and when I say don't look like us, I mean the homeless and whoever you think that doesn't look like you. The family of those that we criticize because they continually ask for help. The family of those that don't learn the lessons that they need to learn. The family of those that continue to make themselves a victim instead of a survivor. Because if you're a victim, as long as you're a victim, you cannot give God that glory. You can only give God the glory when you see yourself as a survivor. Each one of you belong to the greatest family in the world, and I am part of it. And I am so glad that I was adopted. Let us pray. Spirit of God, come among us this Pentecost day. Make this day a rebirth day for your people. Make us passionate in our faith, strong in our commitment, courageous beyond our imagining, and willing to love and keep on loving without reservations, without rules, without judgment. Keep us loving unconditionally. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We get together to start another week. Receive this blessing from the Lord. Lord of the harvest, you gave your disciples the mandate to be your witnesses around the world and empower them with your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to accomplish this task. This task you have given to each one of us also. Today we ask that you will help us to refocus our attention as we face a task unfinished. You have blessed us with the power and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Help us to use this for ministry and witnessing. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We are working hard to get all the changes that need to be done in order to go back as much as we were before. I know that Terry is right on top of it. Thank you so much for coming in and worshiping today with us. God bless you all.
Shall never cease.